Of course, physically, next to Gustav, she was Olympian perfection, a transcendent beauty, a Victoria's Secret model, a Donald Trump girlfriend. Gustav Mahler was many things, my friends, but particularly attractive, he was not. And he was so filled with nervous energy that he twitched constantly, as unable to contain himself within his small, slim body as a four-year-old on three cups of espresso. Like most of Mahler's other contemporaries, Natalie Bauer-Lechner described his odd way of walking, which often inspired children on the street to imitate him and mock him as he walked by. Each of his steps, every motion he made, twitched with impatience, which showed in the way he raised each leg and then struck the ground, in Natalie's words, like a horse or a blind man. He never took two successive steps alike. Apparently, it was impossible to walk in step with him. Mahler loved to row, but at the same time, he had the same problem. His strokes were uneven and uncoordinated. We are told that he was completely incapable of rowing in a straight line, much to the amusement of observers and much to his own frustration. Gustav, the shore's that way. It's that. I know. I'm doing the beep best I can. Of less than middle height, slender and weak in appearance, Mahler had, in fact, exceptional strength and suppleness. Despite his lack of coordination, he was a hardcore sportsman, a swimmer, bicycle rider, and mountain climber. If he were alive today, we've no doubt that he would hold a membership in a health club, play racquetball, he would be a dangerous opponent, but play he would, and ski Aspen during the winter. Just stay out of his way. Natalie tells us that he hammered the piano like a giant. And in Budapest, he frequently carried his sister, Justine, heavier than himself and dressed in a fur coat, up to their third-floor apartment to save her strength at a time when she was exhausted by the illness and death of their parents. We are told that Mahler's small, dark eyes shone with a burning intensity and could terrify musicians and singers even through the spectacles he wore as a result of being nearsighted. He had a firm, energetic mouth and teeth that, while uneven, were healthy and white. It's been pointed out that his thin, finely drawn lips, with their half-scornful, half-sorrowful expression, were not unlike those of Beethoven, whose life mask hung in Mahler's study. The harshness and severity of his mouth disappeared instantly as Mahler laughed. Indeed, his happy, deep, childlike laughter was so infectious that those around Mahler said that sometimes you had only to hear it through a wall and you would start laughing yourself. He bathed and washed his hair religiously every day. He ate very little, he smoked sparingly, and did not drink. All his life, he was plagued by migraine headaches, gastric upsets, and bleeding hemorrhoids, the latter answering for all eternity the question that must have been asked constantly by the musicians and singers under his baton: what's up his posterior? Physically, then, Mahler was a mixed blessing at best. And the same could be said for Gustav and Alma's marriage. Now, we haven't the time to chronicle all of its ups and downs. That, my friends, would take weeks. But we can make some observations, and perhaps central among these observations is the fact that the best documentation we have of the marriage, indeed, the best documentation we have of Mahler's last 10 years of life, from 1901 to 1911, are Alma's so-called diaries, most of which are really reminiscences written years after Mahler's death. Unfortunately, these reminiscences of Alma's, fascinating though they may be, are flawed, deeply flawed. You see, in marrying Gustav Mahler, Alma married a man she should never have even considered dating, let alone bedding and then tying the knot with. Her resentment towards Mahler, which began with her renunciation of music, not only grew with time, it festered, it oozed like a ripe carbuncle. Ultimately, it consumed her and her husband as well. Mahler was a difficult man, an older man, and he predeceased his wife by 53 years. Well, that gave Alma a lot of time to get back at Gustav, to alter and destroy letters, to paint herself as a martyr consumed by the arbitrary genius of her husband.